So yesterday at this time, we had on a Mike Searpoy, you know him well, local state senator. It was a very interesting conversation talking about some of the failures that have taken place down in Jeff City, and a lot of it due to Republican infighting. The question is, you know, we haven't heard a lot from people like Mike Searpoy. You know, I've heard, and we've had on people on this show who are part of the conservative caucus, as they call themselves down in Jeff City. We've heard their side of the story. We had not heard as much from folks like Mike Searpoy, who did come on this show yesterday and threw some bombs around Jeff City, is how I would put it. So I wanted to welcome on and say hello to Jim Lemke. He is joining us here on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. Stream us, of course, at KCMOTalkRadio.com or on your iHeart app or Alexa as well. Jim is a former state senator. He is now the executive director of the 100 PAC. Jim, I appreciate you being here in Kansas City. Thanks for the time.
Pete, thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Let's start off with some of the things that were said about you and your PAC yesterday by Senator Searpoy. I have the audio cut up, so rather than me interpret it, I'll just play it and then allow you to respond. Let's start with this from Senator Searpoy yesterday.
Jim Lemke's, one of his PACs is the 100 PAC. Mm-hmm. And between July 1st and the primary date of August 2nd, it got $175,000 from trial lawyers. Trial lawyers, as you said, are pretty Democratic group, but they're not stupid people. They're smart people. And they know that tort reform in this state is very difficult to do. And as long as these agents of chaos are doing what they do, we will not get tort reform done.
So the accusation there, Jim, you are making money through your PAC from trial lawyers. These trial lawyers are supporting members of the conservative caucus who are not there to actually move forward on tort reform and serious legislation, but rather to basically get in the way. How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, we've passed all kinds of tort reform in the state of Missouri in the last decade. The trial attorneys have engaged because they found commonality with a number of conservative senators defending the Seventh Amendment of our Constitution. We believe that the First Amendment's important. We believe the Second Amendment's important. And the Seventh Amendment is important as far as access and ability to have your day in court. So there's been commonality there, and they've made some investments. Senator Searpoy is correct. I mean, all kinds of special interest groups, you know, invest in campaigns and look out for their interest in our state. But to say that tort reform is hard to pass. The Republican supermajorities have passed a lot of tort reform in the last decade in this state, and we have to be careful to protect the rights and access to the courts of the people. Hey, Pete, let me say this. I really want to stress, I was saddened by Senator Searpoy's interview yesterday because he sounds like an angry man. And the fact of the matter is, over 50% of his voters in his primary race voted for his opponents last Tuesday. And, you know, what's happening across the state of Missouri because of the work of the 100 PAC and our ability to start to educate primary voters across this state, people are waking up. It makes a difference which Republicans we elect. Our problem in Missouri isn't that we don't have enough Republicans. We don't have the right Republicans. You know, your listeners might be interested to know that the state of Missouri elects more Republicans to their General Assembly than the state of Florida. And what does Florida have that we don't in the state of Missouri? When I ask that question, when I give our presentation across the state, everybody yells, Ron DeSantis. You know, Missouri needs a Ron DeSantis. And we need leaders in the Missouri Senate and the Missouri House that are going to start doing Republican things. And what came out in our scorecard from the 100 was we had a lot of Republicans that said one thing during campaign season and went to Jeff City and were empowered and voted a different way. So what my goal and the goal of the 100 PAC was, is, and will continue to be, is to elect the right Republicans and start having our supermajorities do Republican things and move our state forward.
So, Jim, is that a specific mention and call out? Because I asked, I said, hey, how about leadership here somewhere in Jeff City, bringing everybody together, getting everyone around the table and saying, hey, whatever differences there may be, let's work for the people of Missouri, the people that brought us here, the people that put us in power. Where do you believe the failure in leadership specifically comes from? Is it the governor's office or is it elsewhere?
It starts at the top. It certainly comes from the governor's office. There were many calls during the interim from the conservative caucus and actually other senators outside of the conservative caucus for the governor to call special sessions on the congressional maps, on other priorities that we know were going to be very difficult to get through in a regular session. And this idea that the conservative caucus is just a bunch of obstructionists is ridiculous. I mean, they stood up and defended the rights and the liberty and the property of Missouri citizens when a supermajority and the leaders of the Senate put forth an agenda that looked like a Democrat agenda, not a Republican agenda. You know, how in the world with supermajorities are we raising the people's gas tax? How are we passing a prescription drug monitoring program? How are we expanding Obamacare through the Medicaid expansion?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are not Republican things, Pete. And the fact of the matter is there would be no need for a conservative caucus if the Republicans were all working together to do Republican things. And that is a product of failed leadership.
Jim,
and I can tell you, I can see two. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Well, I can see two scenarios as we go into this next session.
Mm-hmm.
The first scenario is we have the same leadership under Caleb Browden that we've had for the last 4 years, where you have this division between the moderates and the conservatives. Or the second scenario is you have new leadership that brings the caucus together and starts doing Republican things. If there was a message sent in these primary elections, the races that I invested in and our PAC invested in, our candidates went 4-for-4. We won all four of them. And then there was an incumbent in Joplin that lost his reelection because of his voting record to a challenger that he outspent 7-to-1. If there was a message sent to the Republican supermajority in the Senate is bring the caucus together and start doing Republican things and the war will end and we'll start fighting with the Democrats again. We want to bring peace to the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Jim Lemke, former state senator, executive director of the 100 PAC on KCMO. Certainly some strong words said yesterday on the show by our local state senator, one of our local state senators, Mike Sirpoy. This accusation, you know, that you played a big role in pushing Clean Missouri ahead, that was one thing noted by Senator Sirpoy. Clean Missouri obviously dates back a few years, but not viewed and was not good for Republicans in the state of Missouri. Is that accurate?
It certainly is accurate to a point. I worked for Senator Rob Schoff, a former colleague in the Senate, as his chief of staff at the time. And he asked me to endorse it, and I did endorse it. There were pieces of it I thought were good, pieces of it that I didn't think were so good. But this idea that I made any money on it or that I worked on it is just not true. I did not campaign for it. I did not get compensated for my endorsement. But my friend Rob Schoff, Senator Rob Schoff, asked me to endorse it, and I did.
Mm-hmm. So now moving forward, Jim.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
One more thing, Pete, that Senator Sirpoy brought up yesterday. He said that I took more lobbyist gifts when I was in the senator than any other senator in the history of the state. That's not true. I'll admit I took lobbyist gifts just as he took lobbyist gifts when they were allowed under our ethics laws in the state. You know, ask him to tally up what his lobbyist gifts intake was when he was leadership in the Senate or in the House. Pete, one more thing that I think is important for your listeners to understand is what's happening in the Senate is a product of term limits. And there's been a mass migration of House members to the Senate since term limits. And it has really affected the dynamics of the relationship between senators. And what's been brought over by the House is a House mentality. It's a very vertical relationship in the House. All the power is with leadership. The Senate is a horizontal body. And the power is supposed to be spread out between the 34 senators. But what's happened is this desire from these House members that were in leadership to come over and run the Senate like the House and centralize power. And that's why there's been a lot of pushback in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. But you think that's been and that will be long term good for the people of Missouri. You believe that to be a good thing?
No, I don't think it's a good thing for the Senate to become a smaller version of the House.
You think that the term limits was a mistake because of how it's allowed the Senate to now operate?
It has affected it, but again, it didn't have to. What I'm saying is, this migration of House members, especially leadership members, have come to the Senate and wanted to treat the Senate the way they treated the House.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't built that way. You know, as Senator Serpoy said yesterday, you know, every individual senator is supposed to have equal power. And that's, you know, that's built into the rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's important that that isn't transgressed. And what's happened is rulings from the chair, this gets down in the weeds, Pete, but,
yeah.
You know, what's happened over the years is that there have been rule changes, there have been tradition changes that have really affected, you know, how the Senate works. And that's why there's been a lot of angst over there.
So to kind of put a bow on this then, Jim, I mean, where does this go from here? Senator Serpoy is of the belief, as he said on this show, that every Republican in the Missouri U.S. Senate, in the Missouri Senate, is a conservative. It's what he said yesterday. It seems like you don't feel that way. So what needs to happen? You mentioned Caleb Rowden in leadership. You don't sound all that fond of the leadership of Governor Parson. What do you believe needs to happen moving forward?
Well, I think that what's going to happen is you're going to see, based on the results of the primaries last week, a larger number in the conservative caucus. And what I anticipate is the conservative caucus is going to put forth an olive branch for peace. And what that looks like is that they're going to try to work with whoever the leadership is to do Republican things. But that doesn't mean they're just going to disengage.
Mm-hmm.
If we have leadership that continues to do things that look more like a Democrat, and by the way, the idea that all Republicans in the Missouri Senate are conservatives is baloney. And their voting record is what exposes that. It's not how I feel. It's mm-hmm. not a subjective standard that I put up. It's their voting record. That, you know, a Republican that votes for a gas tax increase is not a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's going to happen, Pete, is there's going to be an attempt by the block of conservatives to put an olive branch out and say, hey, let's start working together and doing Republican things, no matter who the leadership is, and start fighting with the Democrats again, because we have more in common than we don't have in common.
I hope that does end up what comes out of this, because you're right. I mean, there's too many good things that can be happening right now for the state, for conservatives in the state, and they're not happening. So we appreciate you coming on, Jim. Thank you for being a part of the show, and we'll be in touch moving forward. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for the opportunity, Pete.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.